Okay, hello and welcome to another teleseminar sponsored by Member Solutions. This is Ali Albrigo, and I'm always honored to be with you on the line right now. For those of you who are listening at a later date, possibly driving in your car or listening late at night, thank you for taking the time to join in. Before we officially get started, I want to remind you of the many things that Member Solutions has to offer to you. We have a host of many talented people doing conference calls monthly, so take advantage of those calls either on the line or in the archives, as well as so many other areas of written material from myself, Kathy Mahler, other people, and some of the most successful martial art entrepreneurs in the country. To be 100% honest with you, what's available to you at Member Solutions is often overlooked and underutilized. You really have many of the answers at your fingertips, and that doesn't even include the option of doing a one-on-one free, and I repeat, free phone call to discuss any issues, ideas, questions with a personal consultant. So take advantage of the Member Solutions offers and what's available to you. The title of this call may seem very predictable to you, and some may have thought to themselves, well, what can he tell me that I've not already heard? The title being, now's the perfect time to finalize your summer income plan and prepare to have an awesome summer. The outline promised in this informative teleseminar is I will share ideas on how you can increase your summer profits. Some of the discussion topics were included as marketing, income generation, and organization. It said, attend this beneficial teleseminar so that when you think summer, you'll think opportunity for extra profits. With that being said, I'm sure you thought about many things, but sometimes the obvious is really not so obvious. I'm always going to take some time on the first half of this to talk to you about how to print money. Well, actually, I want to be clear that you're not going to actually print it or counterfeit money in any way. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. But you're going to learn how to have access to it anytime you want. Recently, one of my friends came to me with a dilemma. Some personal things went on in his life which forced him to come up with $5,000 by the next day. Of course, he didn't have the money and called me for a loan. And at the time, I didn't happen to have the money to loan him. And I preferred to follow that age-old saying, give a man a fish and feed him for a day, teach a man to fish and feed him for a lifetime. The fact of the matter is my friend runs a really successful school, and at the time when his dilemma was presented, he really wasn't thinking clearly. So I took some time with a clear head, not being personally involved, and I thought of different options. Within 20 minutes of us talking, we found a way to clear his entire situation up for him. Really, the pressure that he was feeling was clouding his vision. So I look at all situations as open-minded, meaning there's no right, no wrong, or one way to do things. And I'm sure you realize people have many ways of doing things, but sometimes experts, let's say a real estate expert, may know of many ways which are just not available to an average everyday person. It took years of blood, sweat, and tears for that person to develop those real estate buying muscles, which allow him or that person as an individual to learn how to think through difficult situations and act. So my goal today is to help you look at things from an entirely different perspective, hence making money for you continually. When we think of growing our schools, normally we think of adding on new students. Of course, for the small schools with only a handful of students, this goes without saying. Once you reach a specific goal or a certain amount of students, you should be able to think a little differently. Now, let me quickly give you an idea of what I think is a large school and a small school. So I would consider a small school to be around 50 students, a medium school at around 75 to 100, medium to large at 100 to 150, a larger school to be 150 to 250, and a large school being 250 to 350, a super school being 350 to 600 students. With this being said, most schools that I consult with, and maybe that's why I'm consulting with them because they have a small amount of students, is 100 students or less. To some, this may sound small, but with the correct prices, 100 students should be a $22,000 month for that school. That should be around $300,000 per year with all the correct add-ons. Now, here's the first topic, and I hope you have a pen in hand, and I want you to be, you know, try to write down as much as you can. Of course, you could go back in the archives and listen to this at a later date. My topic is maximization. You may be saying that you've heard me speak of this before. A few months ago, I did a conference call on this. Now I'm going to beat a dead horse with the same old. What I want to do is clearly outline what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go over the same stuff. I'm going to give you some new ideas. But for all of us who run a school, we should be using systems within our school, top systems, and doing and regular income generators. This may seem like something that you don't want to hear, but in fact, for people who are doing all the right things, it's exactly what you need to hear. For those who are not doing the things I mentioned, let me first give you some things to do. So if you have a pen, here are three things you need to do immediately. The first thing is develop and continue to work on your systems within your school so you can almost run your school on autopilot. What I mean by this is to simply take the time to organize your school as if you are not going to be there to run it any longer. It doesn't matter whether you are or you aren't. Your school should have systems and checks and balances in place to do this. If you're frustrated with this process and you're not sure of what to do, just call me and set up a personal one-on-one call and I'll walk you through it. So the first one is develop and continue to work on systems within your school. Number two, take the time to train your staff. Without this, you're not a business owner. You're self-employed. With you being the boss of yourself, you're basically a slave to your own business. You probably put in more hours than all the average employees that work for you or average employees in a job. The ultimate goal is to have people working for you, producing the same quality as you if you were doing the job, and help you build your business. Developing staff is not so easy. Right before I got on this phone call, one of my younger guys, he's 17 years old, he's really phenomenal, the kids love him. 10 minutes before I called you just now, my guy from my back office had chimed in on my intercom and said, can you talk to so-and-so? He wants to talk to you. And I said, is it a good thing? He said, hold on, talk to him. Anyway, the guy doesn't want to work anymore as of June 1st. He's not going to be working for me. So now I have to find yet another qualified black belt and explain to the kids why Sensei so-and-so is not there anymore. So it's important to take the time to train your staff and continually have a bench strength of instructors that could come in and help you. Number three, take time to set up a yearly schedule starting tomorrow. Not next week, not next month, but tomorrow. Put together a list of things that you want to do from now until the end of the year, because before you know it, at the click of a finger, it's going to be July. This will include income generators such as KickPad seminars, parent coaching seminars, specialty seminars, movie nights, parents' night outs, etc., etc. Make sure you know what you want to do and how you're going to do it. Last month, I talked a great deal about the event journal, and this will help you to get organized. So if you didn't hear that teleseminar, go back and listen to it. And then I sent out a few some emails on it. And I also did an audio generator where you could click on it and listen to me talk about this topic of the event journal. Anyway, this event journal will help you get organized. In fact, my team and I live our lives by it, and it's a blessing. So the top three topics that you need to do, and maybe some of your schools are already doing it, are of developing your systems, taking the time to train your staff, and taking the time to set up a yearly schedule. Now, let's assume that you're doing these three things that I just listed, and we're all on the same page. I want to give you an assignment, and I hope that you could do this right away. And I do this with all my elite personal consulting clients that I do phone calls weekly with, and I ask you to build a student grid. The student grid is simply an Excel spreadsheet with all your students listed on it. You may say, well, I'm using MSI software. I may have another billing program, whatever it may be, but I recommend building this student grid. If the program that you're using fits and you can do the things that I'm asking, then never mind. But if not, this is your homework assignment. Design on an Excel spreadsheet, a student grid, of a list of all your students from 1 to however many you have, 100 or 400 or whatever. Take a look at each student in detail. For example, how old the student is, what color belt or rank they are, when they join your school, what program they're in. For example, if you have multiple tiers, such as Black Belt Club or Masters Elite or an instructor training program. First, determine what the natural progression is in your programs. For example, maybe the student starts off in a basic program, and the next step is you want to upgrade them to Black Belt Club. Then after that is Masters Elite. Then after that might be a character, team leadership, character development program. Whatever it may be, build in your progression and look at that. Once you determine the cycle, then you should list that on your program on the student grid. And if you don't have upgrade programs, that's something that we should talk about, and that should be put down on your list of things to do, develop some upgrade programs. On this student grid, you should list everything that a student does, whether they purchase retail gear, whether they're buying drinks from your school, whether they've done a special event. The goal is to help you get an understanding of what the DNA of your school is. Here's how you start to print money. But before I go into the whole printing process, let me ask you guys a question. I pretty much know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If you owned a gold mine and you were digging in a hole and continually finding gold in that hole, when would be the time that you would abandon the hole to dig in another one? And, you know, the question, or the answer to the question, of course, or most probably would be when the gold runs out. If this is correct and you're nodding your head, then I ask, why is it that many of the schools, martial artists, business owners, they continually abandon their holes that have gold in it and where they're printing money to do other things that are not working or possibly will take away from the things that are working? Here's how the student grid will work for you. If you know your students and you realize there are 20 people in your school who are upgradable, let's say, to the Black Belt Club, and you're not marketing, talking, and selling them on these programs, and the money is just waiting for you, just sitting. If you have a group of 3 to 5-year-olds, let's say, who are the most volatile market due to the fact that a parent will spend tons of money on their kids, and you have no retail available specifically for those children, or you have no special events or seminars designed for those children and parents, and you're not marketing that to those children and parents, then you're sitting on a pile of undiscovered gold. The question is, what are you doing to market to specific clients? Another realization is you'll find when you're doing your student grid that only 30%, and this is a guesstimation, of course, of your student body are going to attend all your events, all the time. For example, let's say you do a parents' night out, and let's say you have 100 students in your school, and you fill the event with 50 people. To you, you look out on the floor, and you say, with a smile on your face, this has been the ultimate success. I made $1,000, and it was a good turnout, and so on. Let's say you do a few of these. You're going to notice that the same people will come, the majority of the people, the same people will come to these events over and over again. But what that tells us is, even though it was attended, there are pockets of people that are not doing anything. No events, no seminars, no parents' night outs, etc., within your school. So what do we do to get these people involved? Those are undiscovered pots of gold. What do we do to get those people involved? Of course, being involved not only is for the money, the pots of gold, and the return on investment, but for the goal of keeping those students active, making sure that they're feeling like a part of the family, and doing all those things that increase retention and become retention tools in your school. The ultimate goal is to achieve all those things, retention, income, excitement, motivation, in your school for all of your students. Not only for the income, but for, of course, for that, for their retention. Here are 3 steps for reaching people who I would consider invisible, the pockets of people that are doing nothing. They're still training, but they might not be doing any of these special events. One, the first thing is, complete your student grid and figure out who is upgradable and who is attending these events. You're going to be very shocked when you look at the students in black and white on a piece of paper, not a program where you could scroll from one page to the next and see one student, but look in the majority, almost as if you were establishing a graph on a piece of paper, and the graph is guiding you through the majority of your clients to tell you that a good majority of those people are in the Black Belt Club, but 40% of your enrollment is upgradable to the Master's Elite or to your team leadership character development. 25 of your little ninjas or 3 to 5-year-olds are available to do a parents' night out seminar, and all you have to do is ask, and those people would be there in a heartbeat. But you don't have something available to them, so you don't market to them, so you don't do this seminar, and in turn, they feel short-handed. They feel like they're getting shorted, and they're not being – the customer service is not there for them either. So complete your student grid and figure out who's upgradable and who's attending the special events and who you could market to. Number 2, find out who's not attending and take time to find out why. We can do this in many ways, of course, emails, flyers, etc., but most of those people have become quite elusive already. So they're ignoring you, they're telling you they're going to do it, but they haven't. They're talking to you in the lobby and saying, oh, yeah, we're going to be there probably. I once had a kid during a seminar, and this is hysterical. I was asking about an event 3 months away, and I said, who's going to attend the event? And this kid raised his hand, and he said, I'm not going to be able to be there. I'm going to be sick that day. Just goes to show you that they're already thinking of a way out. So my suggestion is to talk to each individual, parent and student alike, one by one, and find out why they're not upgrading, why they're not attending these events, why they're not doing your summer camp, your movie nights, and so on and so forth. Talk to them. you may be able to point out to them why it's so important for them to be a part of what you do for all the right reasons. For example, the more they do, the more involved they are, the more excited they are, the better they progress, the longer they stay. 3, I recommend to set up an appointment book, a regular book of the people who have not done the special events or have made empty promises and hold them accountable. For example, Mrs. Jones doesn't come to this parents' night out, but they say they're busy, they're going to come to the next one. Next one, they don't go to that either. Sooner or later, they're trained to ignore you, and they're just not going to do it. It's like white noise in marketing. The more we learn how to cycle it out and filter it out, the more we learn to ignore it and get rid of it and not even pay attention to it. You have all probably talked to people till and they have a blank stare like a deer in the headlights as they're talking to you, and they're actually answering you, but you know by looking at their face they're not really hearing you. So set up an appointment book of the people who have made promises and hold them accountable. Remember to tell them the more involved they are, the less likely they're going to be to let their student quit or for them to lose interest. Your goal is to help those students by keeping them active and educating the parents about that topic and idea as well as finding these undiscovered pockets of gold. And gold could mean money, real gold, or it could mean retention in your school. Again, our ultimate goal is to find the pockets through research of where the gold is. The DNA and the student grid will tell you that. Now you have to start talking to the client's parents and establish the reasons why. If it's the money, you can always work out special deals undercover and help people, or possibly build a new program in your school that's fully inclusive and allows parents to budget their money and still attend these events. For example, calling it the Master's Elite Program, and it's $200 a month. Most parents are going to pay that on average, but because they do one special event here or there, and you give it to them for $200, it's fully inclusive. They never have to pay for another thing in the school. They know. But what we're doing as school owners is shifting our client base to a higher income each and every month. I very rarely see a student who's coming to all the special events and attending all the different things that we do and is motivated and excited quitting. The only students who quit are the ones who are not motivated or running into frustrations or money issues maybe. Of course, there are certain things that you can't do if they're moving or they can't afford certain things, but you certainly could work with people if you're communicating with them. So we have to look at those people and find out by looking at this student grid of where people are at so that we can have an intelligent conversation. I'll give you an example. I have 3 trucks on lease right now for employees, and they're all coming up, and one of them I drive, and they're through my companies. One of them is a Cadillac SRX. I just went to the Caddy dealer yesterday, and my daughter and I were sitting there, and I was thinking of buying a new Cadillac, and actually it wasn't yesterday, it was the day before, and I told the person what I wanted to spend, and he totally ignored what I had to say. He then came with a different price, and I said, that's not what I want to spend. So he started to try to negotiate with me, which I guess could be a sales tactic, but being a salesperson, I was insulted by it. And he wrote down, I wanted to spend around $550 a month, and the car was coming in at $620. So he took the $620 and wrote it on a piece of paper. He scribbled it out, and he wrote $619, and he flipped the paper around and pushed it over to me. And I looked at him and I said, for a dollar, that's $12 a year, you think I'm going to buy this car? Basically he was treating me like the average everyday person, even though that I was telling him what I was looking to do. So I was insulted by his process. What I mean by this and why I bring it up is that we need to find out our clients and what they're thinking so that we can appeal to them, help them, assist them, be there for them. If we find that it's a money issue or it's a lack of motivation or if it's a fear issue, if we find that out, we can then attempt to help that person get through that by whether it be a special deal or a special discount or, working with that person on the side. Okay, so we're doing our student grid and we're analyzing our clients. We're finding pockets of people that we're not marketing to at all. We're looking deeply to see who's upgradable. We're looking at the people who are invisible. Now, with that being said, the student grid is really going to open your eyes to things that are not being seen within your school. The goal is to get people to do things that they would not normally be involved with, in essence, finding those pockets of money, motivation, and building your retention and student excitement. It is so worth taking this time to analyze your school, and you'll find that not only will you increase retention, you'll probably get more sign-ups, you'll probably add on, at minimum, thousands to your bottom line. Before I move on, which I have a few other topic areas that I'm going to talk about, I want to ask if anybody has any questions specifically on what I just talked about. And if you do, I'll answer those questions, and then later on I can answer questions on any topic. But I would like to see if you have any questions on this student grid and if I'm clear on this. So, Kathy, if we could open the lines for questions, I'd appreciate that. Take everyone off of mute.
Okay. We've got the phone lines open.
Okay, great. Anyone out there have a question? And that tells me that I've pretty much explained myself properly. Okay. All right, so we're going to move on from that, and we're going to talk about – so now just think about this. Let's pretend, you know, the topic was making money over the summer. It'd be great to add on 50 new students this summer and get those new people in the door, but it's also good to shift your philosophy and say, if I have people and they're excited and they're motivated, my focus and concentration should be on keeping them during the summertime. So what I want to concentrate on with you is some ideas to boost the morale in the summer, in turn increasing your retention, maybe possibly getting more referrals, as well as, you know, finding those pockets of money that you're sitting on right now. I'm sure if all of you who are on this line right now or whoever hear this in archives, listen to what I say, one event could be $12,000 to $25,000 or more in your pocket right away. You know, at year end. I mean, right away, year end. Because if you start doing them, they're gonna happen. So here's one idea for you. For the summer, have a crazy special day. You could do it in June or July or June through July and call it crazy Tuesdays or Wednesdays, whatever it may be. And it may be more than one day because certain kids may come on a Wednesday. I made this mistake and I did crazy Wednesdays last year. And I found that a good majority of those kids didn't come on Wednesday, so they missed out on these special days. So you might want to find the 2 days where everyone can attend and call it Crazy Tuesdays or Wednesdays. And this could be a series of special events such as Ice Cream Day, Special Hair Day 1 week, Pajama Day, Grappling Day, American Gladiator Day, Bring a Friend Day, etc., etc. The goal is to do something different and fun and exciting to keep the morale high and create the desire for these kids to come to your school versus swim in the pool. Come to your school versus play with their friends on a play date. The goal is to take our slow times and motivate them to be busy times. We want to, of course, build this culture where it's just as fun to be at our school rather than being out on a play date or at the beach or something like that, where people are rushing home to come to the dojo or the martial arts school. We've had great success with this. And another great idea, of course, is summer camps, which we overlook. And there are many ways to do summer camps. And you've heard this all before, but some of us aren't doing it. So here's a few quick examples. One, you can have a summer camp for a month. You could have the summer camp for 2 months, or you could do only 1 week. You could also do gay camps, where the camp could be a Friday from 9 to 5, and that day you're going to go to the pool and you're going to have lunch and they're going to do special training, and the parents get to drop the kid off for the entire day, and let's say you charge $50 for the day. On the weekly camps, I have a good friend. He gets about 60 members at $225 to $250, depending on whatever options he does. And, you know, he's got a full week, and he's making $14,000, $15,000 for that week. That could make or break someone's summer right there in 1 week's time. You work really hard for a week. The rest of the summer you could coast for some of us. Anyway, the summer camp is a really, really good one. And, you know, whatever you do, it'll certainly work as an income generator. But remember that anything that has income attached to it could also be a great motivator and retention gathering thing for the students and the parents as well. Some things you should be focused on is bringing new blood to the school as well, meaning that we have, you know, an opportunity in the summer to do summer specials. And the summer special could be a $99 6-week special or $199 for 8 weeks for the summer. It includes the uniform. It takes them from beginner level to, I don't know, whatever belt level you have, white belt or yellow belt in your school. And you could run that special in the local paper. You could make up door hangers and you could give them out in your community. You could give them to all the kids now or a little bit closer to school. school year-end parties, because every single school has a party at the end of the year where they have to bring brownies and cupcakes and so on and so forth. Why not bring the brownies with passes for all the kids in the class, and or have an end-of-year party where that child can invite all his classmates from school to your school to do a party for free. You supply the pizza, you supply the entertainment, you teach the class, and now you gather Johnny Smith, little Johnny Smith's entire elementary school class, and bring him to your school. No charge, and you get all those people to come in. That's one event. Another way of doing it, too, is give out, you know, a letter now to all the moms, finding out if they're doing any PTA fundraisers, if they're doing any Boy Scout end-of-year trips, or if they're doing whatever. Why not bring those people to you? Ask the PTA to bring them to you for a self-defense seminar. Maybe a, you know, whatever, a fun night you could even do with the kids. And don't forget Buddy Weeks, and we talked about this a number of times, and I feel like sometimes I'm beating a dead horse, but I have to repeat myself because there are new people on the line all the time, as well as old people that have forgotten things, not old in age, but older clients that have been with us a long time. And what I want to do is make sure we talk about our consistent Buddy Weeks, not Buddy Days. You know, making sure that every single cycle of 5 weeks we have a Buddy Week, and the entire week, not a Buddy Day, so that we motivate people to come on a regular basis to our school. For example, let's say my daughter wanted to bring her friends. Her name is Sarah, and Sarah can't make it, and we only have a Buddy Day, so Thursday's no good, so she has to wait an entire month before she brings her friend down again. If we have a week, my daughter has the opportunity to bring all of her friends Monday through Friday to class, and maybe she'll bring five, and maybe we can entice those kids to bring more people, saying, by sweetening the pot, the one who brings the most buddies wins a $100 gift certificate to the store, or gear, or a free private lesson, or a dojo, a school windbreaker, or dinner with the instructor, or whatever you may want to do, or $100 cash, cash award. We want to create motivation and buzz every 5 weeks around this Buddy Day. I have to be honest with you. In my schools, we tend to forget these things. You know, Buddy Day comes and goes. A few kids remember, but we should be focused on these internal, in-house marketing plans to the point where we're always building this festive environment and excitement around this event, because if we don't push it, we, of course, won't get the return. Now, don't forget I mentioned before doing a free party. In the past, I've mentioned about doing an unbirthday. We still are doing them with quite a good amount of success in our school. Now, when I say a success, we're doing these unbirthdays where people are able to have a party for free, and they bring in 20 of their friends. The minimum is they have to bring in a minimum of 15 people that are non-participating students in my school to train and come to this party, and then we'll do the party for free. Our goal, of course, is to reach, touch, and, you know, touch in a mental way, not a physical way, and I say that jokingly, but it's scary. So we want to make sure that we're out there reaching these clients and getting them to see, feel, and smell what we do. Now, the one thing about birthday parties that people are always talking about is, like, a birthday party is a hard sell. Let me tell you why this is a hard sell. Most of the time when someone has a karate party, the only reason why those 25 guests are there is because their friend invited them. If it was a square dance party, a good majority of those people would come anyway because they're respecting their friend and coming for the party. They may have no interest whatsoever in martial arts. So we can't expect there to be a huge turnover. The people that join after a birthday party are the ones that you could build excitement in that day and sell on the spot if you're that kind of salesperson, or the ones that are in the mindset that they're looking for karate or martial arts anyway. If they happen to have looked for an ad and they've been talking about it, and then boom, they're invited to the party and you make them a special offer, they may join. But the percentages are small. The thing, though, that you want to do is continually sweeten the pot by doing continued marketing and advertising to those potentials. You know, they may not think about it now, but in 2 weeks you've gotten them to think about it. In another 2 weeks you send them a special. In another 2 weeks they get invited to a buddy day. Now all of a sudden they have an interest and they become a student. There's no end of the marketing cycle. You continually keep marketing to them until they say, I don't want to be marketed to anymore. You're harassing me and leave me alone. Of course, you don't have to call them every day. You could send them an email. You could send them a flyer. You can send them a discount. You could send them a letter. But you want to motivate these people during the summer, your clients, your existing students, to bring people through the door. Some other ideas might be a women's self-defense seminar, summer boot camp. And here's a really great one towards the end of July. a college prep course, preparing young students to be confident and safe when going away to college. This one hits home with dads and moms that have young girls that are going away their first time, leaving the house and going to live at a dorm. They would do a two-week or four-week course for $99 that's going to teach them self-defense awareness and confidence on how to handle themselves. Maybe at that time talk about all this date rape stuff, talk about the different drugs that people use to induce, you know, people into doing things that they don't want to. We have to be honest with those kids, make them aware, because awareness is safety. So we want to approach the parents in our school that may have younger siblings in our school, but they have an older college kid who may not even be our student going away to college, and we want to sell them this program to help them and make the parents feel a little bit more at ease, as well as helping those children, those young teens, young adults, go away and be safer. There's many, many things that we could talk about, and I want to open up some room for questions as well. Then if I don't have any, I'll jump back in and just give you some more of ideas. And before I end the conference, I'll go over some things that I think that are imperative that you should do and institute in the next few days. But right now, let me quickly ask again. I don't know if we ever close the lines. So is anyone out there that do you have a question? And Kathy, do we have any questions online? Because I'm not online seeing that. I just have Larry Bullard's question. So, but anyway, do we have any questions out there?
We don't have any online, so maybe people are typing right now, and we need to give them a moment, or maybe somebody on the telephone would have a question.
Anyone out there want to ask me a question if you have any? If not, I mean, don't feel embarrassed. Just ask away, and it doesn't have to be on the topic that we're discussing.
Yes,
I wish I had that. Yes.
It's Dwight Woods in Miami. How are you?
How are you, Sifu?
I'm doing fine. I joined in a little bit late, and right when I came online, you were talking about the employee that you had who's not going to be working with you anymore.
Yes.
And I mean, ever since I started, you know my background, so ever since I started paying attention to running the school as a business, it seems that school owners have had this problem with young people and them not sticking around. So I just wanted to know if you could fill me in on how 16, 17, 18-year-old kids came to be the desired employees for the average martial arts school.
Yeah, you know, and this is an interesting topic. I just went out to breakfast with one of my really good friends. His name is John Oschlager. And you know, him and I are basically each other's counselors. You know, we talk about his students and staff that quit, and we kind of like just listen to each other and walk away feeling good. Our topic this morning was on instructors. I spoke with John Broussard the other day online, and he had a really great idea, and I've been toying around with this similar kind of idea, and I hope that it's going to answer your question. Is first is finding people that are interested, and then putting together some sort of instructor training program that will prepare them to teach in your school, hence building your bench strength. But I think that we all look at it, and I know I have a hard time because I consider all my instructors, I want them to be black belts and first or second degree. But my problem is in my school it takes 7 to 8 years to become a black belt in my school when all is said and done after they become official black belts. You know, someone could do it in 5. The rarity is, you know, 4. But anyway, by the time they become instructors, if they have a desire to teach, some of them just want to train. Then I get them, and it seems that they stick around for a good amount of time. Some of them want to become full-time instructors, but eventually there's a turnover and they quit and leave because it's not as, you know, exciting as it appeared to be. It's hard work, it's tedious, and quite frankly, it's frustrating at times. So we lose people. Like, for instance, this young man who worked for me today, his name is Donald. He's trained with me for he's 17. He started when he was 4. So 13 years he's been my student. He's a great teacher. He has a 4.0 average in school. And he's just – I could see it almost within the last 3 weeks. I could just see him immediately going downhill. I'm watching his classes. There's less motivation. He doesn't seem to be as excited. So I talked to him, but he kept saying to me, no, things are fine. I said to him, are you sure you're okay? And he said yes. And then today – right before I got on the call, he told me that he didn't want to teach. He'd rather just be a student. He lost his motivation, and he doesn't feel that it's fair to the students. And I agree with him, but the problem is finding new people. So to answer your question, it's really all about building this system that produces instructors. Now, John Broussard had said to me that he has a program, and I wish I had him on the line. I don't know if he is or whatever, but he put together a program that was really unique, in my opinion, that he has one level of instructors, and they have one belt. They carry one rank. They never change ranks technically in visually, but they progress in their teaching ability so that when people look as an instructor, they're looking at this belt. Let's say it's a black belt with a white stripe. That's an instructor belt. They may not necessarily be a black belt, but they're an instructor. And they might be able to, that specific person, teach 3 to 5 year olds, beginner through green belt only. And as they progress, maybe then they now could teach teenagers up to brown belt. And, you know, depending on their experience and their ability, they could teach certain criterias, but they're capable of teaching classes because they're in this instructor training program and they're learning how to become instructors. Quite frankly, you know as well as I do, Sifu, that just because you're a black belt doesn't mean you're a good instructor. Sometimes there are people with more talent than in teaching because they have the charisma and the ability to communicate that are not black belts. So what do we do as school owners to develop our bench strength and our staff? Because it seems like for many school owners, like myself at times, it's 5 steps forward. You find the right guy, and boom, they quit on you, and you're back to step one. So we have to put in more instructor training ideas and concepts in and not be as, I would say, as stringent on the requirements for an instructor. You know, for example, you could get your education in teaching, and you can teach kindergarten. If you want to be a professor, it's a whole other level of college to be that professor, master level instructor. A professor certainly wouldn't be teaching beginner kindergartner kids. So we have to find out where's the qualifications and what are people capable of and what level they can teach. Does that help? Did that answer your question?
Yeah, that was very helpful. But I was wondering also about the history in the martial art industry behind having teenagers as employees, as instructors. Is it because you've done such an excellent job of retention? And so, for example, Donald was with you for so long, and so he kind of naturally morphed into a leadership role.
Yeah, you know, but then again, that's like 7 of my black belt teenagers, when I say teenagers, have been with me for 10 through 15 years that are teaching for me right now. Have been with me since they were little kids, but there's probably 60 of them or 70 of them that don't have any desire at all to continue their martial art training and to become teachers as well. So it's a very small percentage of people that actually become instructors. But I think maybe, not maybe, I believe in my heart and soul it's because we start nurturing them to be instructors at the wrong time. I think that we kind of throw it in their laps once they get their black belts and say, okay, now you could teach, when in the beginning, if they have an interest, they could start teaching from the early stages, sort of like a school teacher would do a classroom helper role, or maybe do an internship working with another teacher as one of the student teacher aides before they actually become a full-fledged teacher. You know, so it is a natural progression if you put it that way. I know Master Bill Clark, I've been to one or two of his seminars where he says there, and I'm not quoting him, but from what I remember, there are different tiers in which he wants to see his people progress from. Let's say one, the first level is beginner, then the second membership is Black Belt Club, the third membership might be Masters Elite, the fourth membership might be Team Leadership, Character Development, and Instructor Training, and the fifth, their progression of ranking and ability would be to become some sort of teacher in the school or have some role of helping the school teach and develop and assist and so on.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think that that's our biggest mistake is that we're not educating them and getting the teaching bug in them early enough, developing their confidence and making them, you know, understand that it could be something lucrative or it could be a job in between college. But it's very, very important for us to nurture those people. Yeah, and quickly, again, and totally on a different topic, though, my buddy and I talked about this morning saying, why is it that a Montessori school could get for a half a semester or a quarter semester $15,000 when we're struggling getting people to pay $250 a month? You know, and the fact of the matter is that a parent sees that as something that they're going to get, and it's a complete package from beginner to this quarter. They're hopefully going to pay $15,000 and learn and get their kid to be proficient in whatever they're lacking in. In our martial arts schools, I don't think we have enough there for people to believe in, and people are not educated enough to know that we have the capability to change people's lives. And we don't have anything as tangible for them to see because they don't see from June to July they're going to get this. So that might be just a thought on how we run our schools.
Yeah. Well, maybe one day we can have a teleseminar about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm working on this very heavily right now within my organization because I'm finding that I want to do more of the administrative stuff. I want to teach more of the black belts, but I certainly want to work on my business, not in my business. And I'm finding that the more I work on my business and not in my business, the transition I'm going through is a lot of my old black belts are quitting. People that are used to me being there, like, you know, every single day or every other day are starting to feel like, hey, they're not a part of the school anymore because as the more I pull myself out, the more they feel shortchanged. But the new students that are coming in, they love the model. And that's what I want more of because I do, as I get older, want that freedom to be able to go in when I want, teach when I want, and go home and experience vacation and time with my family. And quite frankly, if I want to, you know, be able to do whatever I want, whether it's swim in my pool or take a walk in the middle of the evening, I don't have to be at my martial arts school as a slave to my school. And quite often I feel like that. Even though that I have many staff members, I quite often feel like I have to be there all the time. Mm. And if I'm not, I feel myself, it's self-induced that I'm going to lose students or, you know, the enrollment's going to go down because I'm not there. And what I really need to do always, and it's what I always strive for, is train more people so that they're as good as me, if not better. So do we have any other questions out there? That led me into a whole tangent, but
yeah.
Yes.
We do have four on the web, but
okay,
I think there's someone else on the phone, so I think somebody
else. All right, who else had a question on the phone, and then I'll go to the web.
Yes, hi, this is Winfried Schneider.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. First question, Oehlschlager, is that any relationship to L. Oehlschlager?
No, this is a John Oehlschlager.
Oh, okay, because the name is very rare, and I know somebody in the Midwest that I'm working with on advertising.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's actually he owns Auto Schools. You've met him before at the tournaments. He's
a
very, very good guy. Yeah, he owns three schools on Long Island. Very talented and successful. Also a Member Solutions client.
Excellent.
So did you have a
question?
No,
I had a question. I didn't want to just...
Go ahead.
My question was in terms of instructors. Do you have any adult instructors?
Yeah, well, most of my instructors are adults. Most of my part-timers are younger guys. So
right.
I do have 9 full-time adult instructors.
No, these are running your different...
Yeah, they're either running my schools or teaching at individual schools. Like, for example,
right.
You know, I might have two at one school. I have four
right.
schools, so some of the schools are single floor operations. Other ones have multiple... Mm-hmm. Two of them have multiple floors, so I need two adult instructors.
Right.
So often it's the guy who runs the school, he's the master instructor, and then I have one other head instructor of the school.
Right. Well, my question is, did they develop from teenage students into an adult that now runs the school, or did they start as adults? And
most of the adult instructors that I have, with exception of one, started as an adult and developed into an instructor as an adult. Most of them started off working at another job, eventually loved what they did, saw it, and asked me to become employed at our school.
Hmm.
So, but you know what? I have to say that really the lesson, and even for myself, I have to constantly remind myself, it's about nurturing those people. For example, when we look on our floor and we see a bunch of adults, we probably say, he could be a great instructor, he could be a great instructor, but one guy's a lawyer, one guy's a doctor, they'll never have any time, they don't get done until our classes are over. So we're never going to get them as an instructor, but we may overlook that, you know, that guy who's uncoordinated because he's probably not the most talented at this moment in time, but he could be the one that nurtures into an instructor. In fact, two of my top guys are people that I would have never chosen if I were to pick them based on their talent and charisma at the time. Now they're some of my best instructors. So we have to constantly nurture. And I'm working on this right now. And once I have it available, it'll be available on my site and so on. But I'm working on instructor phases. So like a phase 1 instructor, 2, 3, and 4. you know, what phase one might be able to teach from purple belt and below, intermediate and below. A phase two might be from black belt and below. Phase three, Nidan, second degree and below. And a phase four is a master instructor from fifth dan and below. And they'll all have different qualifications and so on and so forth. But my whole goal is not to pigeonhole myself into a corner myself that I don't have instructors because they're not qualified in my eyes to teach like I thought I was when I first started teaching.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yep, makes sense.
Awesome. Any other questions? Okay. Kathy, how about the web ones?
Okay. We have Adolfo in Idaho, and he says he lives in a small town. He's got about 1,000 kids roughly. Considering all the sports out there, what would be a realistic number of students for his school? He teaches judo, and he's got over 65 students, but only 5% are 14 years old and above. How can he recruit kids and adults?
Well, the question is this, is really how many students does he need? You know, and Adolfo, the most important thing is to understand is that you don't have to have tons of students to be successful and make a great living and be a great teacher. So obviously there's 1,000 kids, but that's just kids. And, you know, so whatever your community is, let's just pretend that you had 5,000 people within your community and, you know, a reach of, let's say, a 10-mile radius, depending on how far people travel in your area. Because my people are lazy. If they have to travel 2 miles out of the way, they're not doing it. But in my buddy's school in Colorado, they'll drive 45 minutes to an hour there and back to get to a school to train for an hour. So what will people do in your town is different, and how far will they reach out? But the question is, how many students do you want? Most people would say thousands. But realistically, what if you had 100 students or 150 people and they were paying the right price? So let's say you had 150 students and they were paying $125 a month, right? 150 at 125 is $18,750 a month, and that's just straight without having Masters Elite, Black Belt Club, instructor training, income generators, and so on and so forth. You're probably going to make in a school with only 150 people, you could make $22,000 to $26,000 a month easily. So it all depends on where you want to be and what you need to do. Now, to answer your question, though, if you have 1,000 people, I mean, I could see yourself easily having 200 students, you know, just with those 1,000 kids. But I would probably more realistically say within your community having 200 students easily. It's easily attainable. And I hope that answers your question.
Okay,
what else do we have, Kathy?
Scott from Petaluma wants to know if you can repeat some of your ideas for a crazy day.
Okay, sure. Sure, crazy day. It's cool. It's a cool idea, really. I had said that on our crazy day we do ice cream day, where we just buy those little cups of ice cream. We keep them in a cooler or put them in a refrigerator after the kids are done. They don't eat them in class, by the way. So you're not having to worry about dress up and clean up and all that other stuff. All they're going to do at the end of class, you hand them an ice cream with a little one of those wood spoons, and everyone gets an ice cream, including the parents that day. It's just fun. The other one was special hair day or crazy hair day, where they dye their hair all different colors, and they have, you know, things, ties, and all this crazy stuff in their hair. Just a weird thing. Another one was pajama day. Believe it or not, that was a really popular one in my school. Odd. But people love to wear their pajamas and show everybody what their pajamas were. We did a grappling day. Not so exciting because we do that all the time. We did American Gladiator Day, where people now, at the time, they didn't even have American Gladiators back on TV. But now I can see the people that are into it dressing up like their favorite gladiator. But we did all different competitions in our school. The other one was Bring a Friend Day, where we did special training for the friends. And the student that brought their friend was their friend's instructor that day. The goal is just to keep the morale high and create people to come on the slow days. That's the most important thing. What else, Kathy?
Okay. Charles from Columbia wants to know what you do for Black Belt Club members. Like, what do you teach them?
Well, school, I have a whole other model when it comes to Black Belt Club. And I'll quickly say how I do it. I don't teach a Black Belt Club, and I was specific on this when I started the program, that I didn't want to have a set number of classes per week, every single week, throughout the month for Black Belt Club. So this is the way my Black Belt Club works. It's about $400 more a year. They get a special gi, which is in our school a quilted heavyweight judo gi that no one else is allowed to use. They have a special patch that says Black Belt Club. They receive 10% off on everything they purchase in our store. And they get one last Monday of the month, just one class per month, for an hour that we do special black belt training, and they get 3 seminars a year with world-renowned teachers that I bring in and I pay, such as Kung Lee and Frank Shamrock and Dan Severin and Hegan Machado and a whole bunch of people that I brought in my school that are all my friends, and they come in and they get to do that seminar, 3 of those for free, and it's Black Belt Club just for the sake of being in that club, extra added benefits, and so on. And I make it mandatory that every one of my brown belts, once they hit brown belt, they have to be in Black Belt Club. Now, my Master's Elite program is exactly the same as what I just mentioned, except it's 20% discount in our store, and they get 3 additional seminars a year and the last Monday of every month class, so they get 6 seminars and 12 classes a year. And they get to go on our ninja retreat upstate New York at my ranch for free, or take 1 week of summer camp, depending on how old the student is and so on. So those are my programs. But if you think about it, my Black Belt Club only takes 15 hours a year for the Black Belt Club, and the Master's Elite is 18 hours a year of teaching that I do for those people, and that's it. Then, of course, I have a team leadership character development program and other things as well. So, but what do I teach at that class? I teach special stuff, special training that they're not getting in their normal everyday classes that the other students would be excited to get. Maybe a special weapon, whether it be a ninja weapon that we don't do normally in our classes, like Manrique Gusetti, which is a chained weapon, or archery, which we do in our back training floor in our headquarters school, and so on. So I want to thank you all for being online. You know, you can always email me at Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, ninja, L-I-N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. And I look forward to talking to you guys and speaking to you on the phone. And Kathy, once again, thank you. Next week I'm in Australia, and when I get back I'll let everyone know how it went. And you guys have a great day. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great day.